everybody. Welcome to the Joey and Amanda podcast. I'm Joey.
And I'm Amanda.
And I'm also pumped.
Yes, me too. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear all of these catfish stories.
Catfish, baby.
It's always fun.
Okay, so maybe a definition of catfish, or everyone knows what catfish is?
I think just to be safe.
Okay, catfishing is the process of luring someone into a relationship by means of a fictional online persona.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's been around for a very long time.
Yeah. We talked, I think, a couple episodes ago about your little history with chat rooms when you were like 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So real quick, if you didn't hear the episode, I don't even know which one it was on, but when I was little, 8, 9, 10 years old, I would go in chat rooms because back then that was before the social media world.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there was no social media. The only way you can communicate with people around the world was chat rooms. So yeah. That was like the social media. But there's no photos. There's just like long, weird names with a bunch of numbers and digits.
Right.
And I pretended to be somebody that was like 16 or 17. I just faked like what I looked like, yeah, and how old I was. And I would just talk to like teen boys. And then my parents caught me and then I got banned off of it. But that's technically catfishing.
Yeah, definitely.
So I've definitely been a catfisher before, which is so weird.
When the show came out in 2012, that just blew up and everyone knew what catfishing was.
Yes.
And it became what it is today.
Catfish on MTV.
Catfish on MTV, yes.
Yes.
Which we are going to talk a lot about.
Yes. So Catfish on MTV is, it's still going today and it's been running for how many, like over 10 years?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think 2012. So about 10 years.
Yeah, about 10 years now. This show is so interesting. Joey and I would binge it.
Yeah.
We watched so many episodes and we were able to see, you know, who the catfishers were and how their lives were and why they ended up in this position. And then you saw the other people that were falling in love. It's very interesting.
Speaking of Catfish MTV, we're talking to Max Joseph.
Yes, I'm so excited. We're going to chat with him and talk about his experience on the show. I mean, he has seen some crazy things.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those episodes, I was even just worried for his safety.
Me too.
Anyways, I'm really excited. This is going to be fun. One more thing.
Yeah.
Before we dive in, the whole reason that we are here today talking about catfishing is actually because somebody in Australia took Joey's photo. Actually, I took that photo.
Hey, mate. Yeah, you did.
In LACMA. Yeah. So I took a picture of Joey. I posted it. Somebody stole it years later and used it to catfish women in Australia. One of you reached out to me and was like, Amanda, somebody's using Joey's photo to catfish women on the app called Hinge. And that made us think, if this happened to Joey, I'm sure it's happened to so many people that listen, like all of you.
Yeah.
And we love hearing your stories. We've been doing this for years. We have the episodes of like the most embarrassing moments and the worst dates. The worst dates is actually one of our most listened to and liked podcasts.
Yeah. I think we did like Vacations Gone Wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. You brought that up.
I think we did.
I know, it's just so many.
I know.
But anyways, we love your stories.
Yeah.
You are all amazing storytellers. It was very hard to pick the stories for today.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I haven't read them.
Yeah.
Joey read them.
Yep.
So I'm excited to hear them.
Me too. I love these episodes too because it's such a great way to connect with all of you.
Yeah. Real quick, when I was in the workshop, I recently had a workshop in Palm Springs, and one of the girls, her name's also Amanda, she came to the workshop and she said, hey, by the way, years ago on your podcast, I shared one of my stories and you shared it. And then my mom shared it with all of her work friends. And I was like, oh my God, that's so awesome. So it's so cool that somebody that sent in a story ended up, like, I ended up meeting her in real life, and now we're friends, and it's awesome. Shout out to you, Amanda, if you're listening.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Story number one comes to us from Aaron, all the way in England.
Wow. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for sending your story. Can't wait to hear it.
She says, catfishing. Hold on to your butts, guys. You are in for a wild ride. with this story.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts.
I like her already. That's so funny.
Happened when I was 19 years old. For the record, I'm 31 now. My friend from high school, Lauren, was talking to this guy on Facebook called J.J. Jones.
Okay.
It's J-J-A-Y space the letter J space Jones.
Okay.
Side note, right off the bat, I should have known it was a catfish with that name, but we move. So she was tagging J. Jones in all sorts of statuses. For example, had a great night driving around with my bestie, J.J. Jones.
Okay.
So obviously, I thought he was legit. A couple of days later, I get a friend request from J.J. Jones. I thought, oh, it's Lauren's friend. I've still not met him yet. I accept his friend's request. Mm-hmm. Now, it's important.
Lauren.
What?
It's Lauren. Okay, I'm going to stop guessing.
Now, it's important to note, I asked Lauren if she was dating him, and she said no. They were just friends. It is also super important to note, it is around this time that me and Lauren also had a big falling out and stopped talking. There was drama over money she owed me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyways, me and Lauren are no longer friends at this point. J.J. Jones, however, messages me on Facebook every single day. He was genuinely hilarious to talk to. From looking on his Facebook page, he was popular, athletic, handsome, funny, came from a wealthy family. Like, how are you single? He asked me, could we start texting instead of talking just online? So I gave him my number. Mm-hmm. We texted all day, every day, from the moment I woke up, right up until the moment I went to sleep.
Wow.
I tried calling him a couple of times, but there was always an excuse why he couldn't pick up. Mm-hmm. Always. However, in my mind, he was real because Lauren had met him, drove around with him, etc. So he was real in my mind.
Yeah.
Lauren vouched for that. Yeah. Fast forward a couple of months, talking all day, every day via text message, MSN, and Facebook Messenger. He asked me, could he pick me up and take me out? Now, what I say next is so naive of me, but at the time, by this point, I was pretty brainwashed into thinking that J.J. Jones was real. He had a ton of people writing on his Facebook wall daily, tagging him in photos, commenting on things, mentioning him in their statuses, etc.
Oh, my gosh.
So he asked me for my address so he could pick me up for our date. He was going to drive. I gave him my address. I know if I had a time machine, I would literally slap myself.
Oh, my goodness.
I buy a new outfit. I buy new makeup. I pay to get my hair done in the hairdressers. I get my nails done. All in all, I spend upwards of like £150 getting ready for this date because I wanted to make a good first impression.
Wow.
He is picking me up at 7:30 p.m.
She really likes him.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they're texting and talking all day. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
All day.
That sounds like when I got ready for your red carpet. When I got my hair done, new outfit.
Imagine. I never showed up to pick you up to go.
I've actually never done that for any date.
Nice. It was a pretty good first date.
I know.
7:30 p.m. No J. 8:30 p.m. and no J. And no answer from my texts. 9 p.m.
This is so sad.
No J. No answer to my texts or phone calls. I've still never heard his voice. 9:30 p.m., my mom comes into my room and says, he isn't coming, is he, lovely? Just get yourself undressed and into your PJs. I don't know why.
No, this is so sad.
And the mom has a British accent. It's even sadder.
Oh, my God. As a mom.
He isn't coming, is he, lovely? Just get yourself undressed and into your PJs. I don't know why anyone would stand someone up, but he better have a bloody good excuse.
That's what she wrote?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is so sad.
I cried and cried all night.
Ugh, I'm going to cry.
I was so humiliated. Around 2 a.m., text message comes
through. She probably, like, her mom, you know, took her
she
maybe.
Was all dressed up.
And then who knows if she just, like, saved up all her money and, like, spent it on. Because 19, like, that much money at 19, that's a lot of money.
I know. Imagine if this happened to Benny.
Oh, it's so
really sad.
So sad. Okay, keep going.
I cried and cried all night. I was so humiliated. Around 2 a.m., text message comes through from J.J. Jones. He was beyond sorry, and his little brother had been in a car accident.
Oh, my gosh.
It's always a car accident.
It's always some accident or, oh, gosh, okay.
I immediately felt guilty for thinking badly of him. Of course, there was a huge valid reason as to why he stood me up. I said if there was anything I could do to help him, just let me know. He then randomly sent me his home address on Google Maps, but the kind that allows you to view the street, house, etc. He said, "See that front patch of grass outside my house? I'm standing there right now, texting you. I feel so, so guilty. Please let me make it up to you. Please explain to your family what's happened. I don't want them to hate me. I understand if you don't want to give me a second chance."
Oh, see that patch of grass? Psycho. Oh my God.
I told him I fully understood. His family should come first. His little brother should be the main priority. I said, "You could make it up to me by calling me. I've still never heard your voice." And he replied with a text message saying his mom and everyone was standing with him, so he couldn't because they were all upset. I didn't carry on pushing. I just let him know, "I understand."
Oh, God.
Skip to a few months later and multiple failed attempts at a first date. I was stood up on every single occasion for months, all with reasons that I couldn't argue with. He fell off scaffolding at work. Aunt was sick. No. Then, the worst excuse of them all, that his mother had cancer. Once again, always catfish goes with this.
Oh my God.
How could I ever argue with that? But he asked me to put a status up to say I was out with him. He said to me, "Will you write on your status on Facebook that you've had the best night with me and tag me in it? I don't want your family to know I've stood you up again. My mom is just really sick and I couldn't leave her. But your family will never allow you to date me if they know I keep standing you up. So to get them off our backs, can you say we've met up and tag me as if we were out together? Please.
Oh.
I love you."
Oh, my mouth is wide open.
The L bomb.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, he dropped the L bomb.
What did you do?
At this point, we've been talking the best part of 7 months.
Oh.
All day, every day, but still no phone call ever. He then texts me, "Make sure you are home tomorrow. Something will be arriving on your doorstep in the afternoon." I thought it would be him. The next day, I heard a knock on my door at 1 p.m., and I flew down the stairs to open the front door, holding my breath, highest hopes. I swung open the door, and there was a postman standing on my front steps, and I was so disappointed, but also super curious.
"Okay.
May I help you?" I said to him. "Sign here, please, love," he said, and handed me a clipboard with a Royal Mail form on it. I signed it, and he passed me a box and told me to have a good day. Uh-huh. "Wait," I shouted after him as he was halfway down my path. "Who sent this? Where is it from?"
I'm on the edge of my seat. Where is it from?
I have no idea. I should have done all these with a British accent, too. That would have made these all so much better. It's too late. "I have no idea," he said. "I just delivered post. I have no idea who sends it. Sorry." And with that, he got into his van and drove away. I sat on the couch and opened up the brown box. Inside, it was a deep navy blue box with a swan logo on the front of it and Swarovski on the front.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know that brand.
Yeah. I opened the navy blue box, and inside it was a Swarovski bangle bracelet with a note on the front. "To Aaron, I love you so much, Jay." She sent pictures of the Swarovski box and the bracelet, which I'll show you at the end.
Oh my gosh.
I later Googled the gift, and the bangle cost around £250, so it wasn't a cheap gift. I was blown away. Nobody had ever done that for me before. But it didn't end there. Cards, poems, flowers all started arriving at my door.
Oh my gosh. Wow, this is a great story.
One night I was drunk out in town with a friend of mine, Naomi. Mm-hmm. In the taxi on the way home, I was telling her all about J.J. Jones and the flowers and the gifts and the poems and the cards, but I'd never met him, never even spoken to him on the phone or heard his voice. And she looked at me and she said, "Let's just go to his house so you can see him face to face. He sent you his address on Google Maps, so let's go."
Oh my gosh.
I got an instant stomach ache with anxiety, but I knew in my drunken state that I had to see him face to face. So, with all my Dutch courage, I told the taxi driver we would be making a detour.
She is so cute. I want to be your friend.
I gave him the address, and off we went. I pulled up onto his huge estate full of gigantic houses with fancy cars up the path. It was the corner house. I knew this was his because he showed me it on Google Maps multiple times at this point. I told Naomi just to wait in the taxi for me. At this point, it was 11:30 p.m., but I didn't care it was that late. I'd reached the end of my tether. This person knew where I worked. This person knew where I lived. This person allowed me to get dressed up and dolled up on multiple occasions to leave me hanging. I calmed my nerves and cleared my throat and knocked on the front door. A middle-aged woman opened the door and looked startled and slightly alarmed. I instantly did my best to reassure her, "I'm so sorry, but your son, Jay, invited me." "My what? Sorry, I don't have a son." She looked genuinely so confused.
Oh my God.
I said, "J.J. Jones, he lives here? J.J. Jones. That's his car?" I pointed to the black and white limited edition car on the path that he pointed out on multiple occasions on the pictures. "No, I honestly have no idea what you are talking about."
Oh, I instantly
got the text message up and the Google Map links and the screenshots and the images, all of this house, the one I'm standing in front of. She looked shocked, and the color drained from her. "There is only me and my husband. I can't, for the life of me, think of anyone who would claim this as their house, or that they live here, or that that is their car. But I can promise and assure you that it is simply not true. I'm in two minds as to whether or not to ring the police," she said.
Oh.
I agreed with her, and she said she would inform the police. She told me she was sorry. She couldn't help me further or give me any answers. But I told her I was grateful for her help. She closed the door and didn't take my name, my number, nothing.
Whoa.
I get back into the taxi, hands shaking with adrenaline from what just happened. And I told my friend Naomi, "He doesn't live there. It's a lie. No young man lives there. It's just her and her husband." As I was leaving, I took a photograph of outside the house. Not so you could see any detail, but you could see I was standing outside of it. And I sent it to Jay and said, "You are one barefaced liar. Never speak to me or message me again." The text came in thick and fast. Why was I there? Am I a psychopath for going there? Why would I do that? Then he was sorry and he could explain. He didn't want to give his address to a stranger. I said, "But it's okay for you to know where I live and send me gifts and flowers and poems and cards. The fuck?" He gave me another address and said he was embarrassed because he didn't have much money and was pretending he did because he didn't want to admit the truth that he was from a poor home. The next day I drove to the other address he gave me. An elderly couple answered the door. They explained nobody but them lived there.
Oh my.
And I apologized and said I was sorry to waste their time. I must be in the wrong place. I text him again. "You obviously aren't a real person. You obviously take great joy in this. Just leave me alone. I'm not going on a wild goose chase anymore. I'm done playing cat and mouse."
Oh my God. Oh goodness. Now what?
A few months before this, I was due to go on holiday with my friends to Spain. We had booked and paid for the flights and hotel. But at the time, I was having severe panic attacks and anxiety. And Jay convinced me not to go on holiday.
Oh my gosh.
He convinced me I would have a panic attack and nobody would be able to look after me and everyone would hate me for ruining their holiday. The morning I was due to meet my friends in the airport, Jay had manipulated me that much that I didn't turn up.
No.
I just apologized to them all and said I couldn't make it.
Oh my God, this guy's ruining our life.
Yeah.
This is sick. My
phone blew up with messages and phone calls from all my friends asking why. Jay messaged me saying, good girl, you made the right choice. You'll be safer at home. I worked in a pub and Jay would message me saying, you looked like you had a great shift tonight.
Oh my God.
I would be serving people or pouring pints, glaring at men in the face thinking, is it you? Are you Jay? I got so scared, I left my job.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't tell anyone this person wasn't real and I hadn't met them because that would mean admitting I'm a liar, and I'd wrote statuses on Facebook saying how great of a time I was having with JJ Jones, and he wasn't real.
Ugh.
Was it even a he? I didn't know. I asked Lauren. She said he had done the same. She had never actually met him in real life.
No.
He just manipulated her into saying she had. She had no idea I was even friends with him myself, or that he had done all these things to me.
Oh my gosh. So it wasn't Lauren. Whoa.
I gave Jay one last chance to come clean. I said, I know you aren't real, but I'd like to know who you are. I would also like to know why you did all this to me. Why me? I just want to know who you really are. Man, woman, I don't care. I just need to know who Jay Jones really is. All the people commenting on your Facebook page, who are they? Are they all you too? All the pictures and photographs you've sent me, who are they? And where did you get their pictures? I just need to meet you. You have one last chance to come clean or I am gone for good. They said they couldn't meet me and I was right. They weren't who they said they were, but couldn't tell me any more than that. I said, this is goodbye then. 2 years of my life at this point.
No.
Wasted and ruined, sabotaged and manipulated for what? A game. Why? I cut all ties. But then, 2 years later, some guy messaged me on Facebook. His name was Tony.
Tony T. Tiger? Just kidding. Oh, gosh.
His name was Tony, and he said, my little cousin has been getting messages off this JJ Jones, and I've seen you commented on some of his old pictures and stuff. Who is he? Is he real? I've told her, my cousin, she's not allowed to speak to him until I verify who he is.
Yeah.
I said, tell your cousin to run. I told this Tony guy the whole story, and he was like, I am going to figure this out. I told him there was no point. I'd even been to the police, and they told me they could do nothing. They said, whilst it's immoral, it isn't actually illegal unless they've asked you for your bank account details, etc. Then we could look into it as a fraud case. But impersonating someone on the internet isn't illegal, unfortunately. We are sorry.
Well.
And that was that. But this Tony guy was like, no. They can't get away with this, whoever they are. I said, the only concrete evidence I have is the number they used was with a network provider called Vodafone.
Mm-hmm. I think I've you heard of it.
Vodafone?
Yes. First off, you are a Tony. You are such a detective.
Oh, yeah. I was okay. Like, what? Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you'd be like,
I'm not giving up. Yeah.
We're figuring this out. Yeah.
Give me all your clues.
Yeah.
Coffee and donuts. Let's get everything laid out.
Yeah.
Tony messaged me and he said, I can't believe it. My friend works for Vodafone. It's illegal, but I'm going to ask them to tell me who the phone is registered to. Can you meet up with me and I'll explain everything I find out?
Okay.
Curiosity had me. I agreed to meet Tony with a friend of mine, Sophie, as I knew better than to meet anyone alone. We met a few days later in a car park. Tony sat in a black BMW car. He said, "Thank you for meeting with me, girls." He had a file in his hand, like a legit file. He asked us, would we like to get in the car?
Uh-huh.
We said no. So he leaned against his car and told us he got some info from his friend, but it was illegal. This is crazy.
This is like a movie.
So he leaned against his car and told us he had got some info from his friend, but it was illegal, which is why he couldn't just send us the info via message or Facebook, and it had to be face-to-face or people could go to prison, in his words.
Okay.
He said he found the address, registered to the number, and showed up with a few of his friends, and then an older man answered the door, and Tony started screaming at him. "You're messaging my cousin and all the other young girls, pretending to be J.J. Jones. You are sick, perverted, twisted." He said a woman came to the door and said she was going to call the police, that they paid for that phone contract for their niece, as she was blacklisted and couldn't get a contact phone in her own name. So they paid the contract for her. She said, "I'd like to know how you found this information out, such as our address. I'm sure the police will be glad to hear all about it." Tony said with that, he left in a hurry. But that's it. Case solved. It was some young girl, and she had now been warned to stop what she was doing. That's it. Me and my friend Sophie stared blankly. What an anticlimax.
What else?
Who was she? Why did she target me? Why did she target Lauren? I had so many questions. Tony could see the clocks ticking in my head and said, "Do you want me to give you girls a lift back home?" "No, thank you," we both said instantly. We walked away from the car after thanking him for his help, but I didn't get it. Years I tried to solve this.
Is Tony?
He's on the case 3 days and puts it all to bed? Something was super off about it all. As soon as I get home, I had a Facebook message from Tony waiting in my inbox. "You looked really pretty tonight. I hope you don't mind my asking, and I know it's inappropriate given the circumstances, but could I take you out on a date sometime?"
Oh my God.
What?
Is him.
I literally was gobsmacked. What the actual fuck? I told him no, and it was super inappropriate, that I was glad for his help, but not to contact me again. Then he turned on me. He called me everything under the sun. He even said in a message, quote, "I've looked through your old pictures. You lost some weight and think you're Miss World now, do you? Think you're too good for me, you cheeky bitch."
Oh my God, he's a psycho. Oh gosh, this guy has trauma. Anyways.
I blocked him, and he started sending me messages from other accounts on Facebook, like club pages, etc. I blocked them all and said I was going to the police. The messages stopped. To this day, I still have no idea who Jay Jones was.
It's that guy. It's Tony.
Or who the hell Tony was.
It's Tony. She didn't say that?
I went on the show Deal or No Deal in 2014 and got an email from none other than J.J. Jones.
Okay.
Wow. Turned on my TV and whose face is all over the screen? None other than you, Aaron. So good to see your face and hear your voice again. I've really missed you and hope you are well. All my love, Jay. What the fuck? This was years and years after putting it all to rest. J.J. Jones is still active. I still don't know who the fuck they are, where they are from, why they chose me. But they made my life a living hell. To this day, knowing they know where I live, who my family is, etc., creeps me out. I always look over my shoulder when I'm walking home alone. Just goes to show, you can never, ever, ever trust people you meet on the internet without solid, concrete evidence of who they really are, or if they are real. That's been my TED Talk anyway, guys. Thanks for reading. Sorry it's kind of long, but that's the condensed version, would you believe? I left so much out, but you'd be here all week.
Oh my God.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Aaron.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. So much of her life, I feel like this has just like impacted her for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
So
Aaron, can we get Max?
What?
Connect them? Would he do like a...
Because he's still out there. We're going to get this story in front of Max. See what he thinks.
Yeah, we have to do it.
This story is unbelievable.
I know. Oh my gosh.
She also gave me more information. I just want to share it.
Yeah.
She said, to this day, it still absolutely baffles me. It's one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. I actually went on to get a degree in policing studies directly from Merseyside Police, as I wanted to study and look into the phenomenon of catfishing as a crime.
Oh, wow.
To this day, it still isn't illegal. My hopes are that one day strict laws will be put in place for those that catfish innocent people. This, like, changed her life.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Hold on. She went and she got a degree and she still couldn't catch him? Mm-mm. Guess not. Oh, my gosh. Goodness. It was Tony.
I think it was Tony too.
It was Tony. She met him.
Yeah, she met him.
Oh my God.
Does that make it scarier? I kind of think it does. Because it takes out the possibility that it is just some, like, whatever her name, Chloe or Sophie, like the little, like, teenage girl that's, like, just sad in her room. It takes out the fact that it could be that person.
Right. But then again, if she has a face, then she can spot him.
Mm.
That's at least a little reassuring.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like if she's working or something, right, like she'll automatically spot
him. That's a good point, too.
But, oh man, I'm so sorry that happened to you, Aaron. That's a wild story. That's a movie.
Do you think that he really did go to the pub that she was working at? He probably did.
Definitely, if he said that.
Oh my God, Aaron.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't catfish, but I still have so much, like, time that was just, like, horrible and abusive relationships, which is, like, similar. Like,
yeah.
I mean, similar in the way that she was in a mentally abusive relationship, even though they weren't there. I think they had her in, like, a grasp where she couldn't even go on her vacation with her friends. Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody's listening and you're in that, if anybody ever tells you don't tell your parents or don't tell your friends, that's like the biggest red flag of all, because you always need to have those people that you're able to talk to, and that's like the first sign of somebody trying to get into your mind is cutting you off from all the people that you love, so you don't really have support. But oh man, thank you for sending it, Aaron. I think it's an important story, and I do feel like getting this story out there will help a lot of people.
Yeah, 100% agreed. So I know you're thinking, and everyone's probably thinking, how could we possibly follow that story up?
Yeah.
Well, story number two comes from Aaron from Liverpool, England.
No.
Catfish story number two.
Whoa.
Again, hold on to your butts.
Hold on. She got catfished again? Oh, I need to know more.
I was talking to a guy called Liam I met on Tinder.
Oh, so this is newer.
Yeah.
It's Tinder.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He wasn't physically actually my type, but if he was chocolate, he looked like he would have ate himself.
What?
He really loved to pose in the mirror. However, he was handsome, and from talking to him, he was really funny. His personality almost didn't match his looks, because from photographs, he looked like he took himself very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I explained I'd been catfished before, and that I had to have solid evidence someone was real. So he sent me a voice note on WhatsApp immediately saying, well, I'm real, so calm down.
Okay.
I was like, phew, you're a guy. Bonus.
FaceTime. Gosh.
However, I don't believe anything without a valid Instagram I can look through. He was like, no problem. Sent me his Instagram, which was a public page. I looked, and it was fully legit. I thought, thank God. I added him and waited for him to add me back. I gave it a couple of hours and then messaged him on WhatsApp like, hey, add me back. And he said, oh, I will. I'm just super busy and I don't use it all that much. I thought, you seem super active on it. From looking at his pictures on Instagram, he had actually been on a TV show called Coach Trip that's on Channel 4 here in England. I was like, no way. Can't believe you were on that show. And he told me all about it and how he made a lot of friends from it. So anyway, we are talking every day and night on WhatsApp.
Oh my and gosh.
He asked me, would I like to go on a date? I said, yes, of course. He seemed great, although I was still slightly pissed off that he hadn't added me back yet, still on Instagram. Anyway, on WhatsApp, he told me to choose where I'd like to go or what I'd like to do on our first date. I said I'd have a think. I opened Instagram and tagged him in a place that did those huge inflatable blow-up balls that you climb into and roll down the hill. Mm-hmm. I tagged him in a comment and said this would be great to do as a first date for us, and he ignored it. I was like, Then I would watch his stories, and he would be videoing himself booing the football team he told me on WhatsApp that he supported.
Oh.
I commented on his story on Instagram, and I was like, why are you booing Liverpool? He messaged me back on Instagram saying, because I hate Liverpool Football Club. And I was like, you're crazy. He then added me on Instagram, but was being really off and really cold with me on there. Uh-huh. I kept commenting on his things, but he would view a message and not respond. But on WhatsApp, he would be chatting the leg off me. It didn't add up.
The leg off me. That's great.
Anyway, he messaged me on WhatsApp and he asked to meet up on a Tuesday. I said yes, somewhere publicly and neutral. I learned a hard lesson from the whole J.J. Jones case, giving addresses away, etc. Mm-hmm. So we agreed to meet up, same situation, hair done, nails done, makeup, new outfit, you name it. Stood on the street corner and he always joked to me he looked Turkish. So as a little gesture, I bought a tin of Turkish Delight sweets with me to gift him on the first date.
So cute.
Stood waiting. No sign of him. Called him. No answer. WhatsApped him. No answer.
Instagram?
He was active. I messaged his Instagram saying, hi, Liam. I'm waiting for you by the supermarket. Are you on your way or am I being ghosted? He read it instantly, but didn't reply. I was like, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. Wow. So I was furious and also really humiliated. I told my friends and a few family members I was going on a first date and was really excited. So to come home with mascara down my cheeks like an hour later, clearly they would know I'd been stood up. He messaged me on WhatsApp a couple hours later. Now, what's weird is he used the exact same excuse as J.J. Jones had years prior. His brother was sick and was in the hospital. Only this time, Liam sent me a picture of this young man in a hospital bed with a hospital gown on.
Oh, you can just Google a picture.
He said, that's my brother. It's suspected meningitis. We are all worried sick. I'm so sorry, but I'm not leaving his side. I understand if you don't want to see me again, but family always comes first. I got weirded out by the similarities, but I said to myself, I can't tarnish somebody else with the same brush as J. Jones.
Oh, gosh.
So I said I understood, and I'd still like to see him.
The way you said, I understood, that was Papa. So
I understood. A couple of weeks later, his brother was still sick, still no signs of Liam, but talking on WhatsApp every day still. Still ignoring me on Instagram.
I can't. Aaron, I can't believe it.
I asked him outright this one night on WhatsApp, do you have a girlfriend? Because you talk to me in private on WhatsApp constantly, but on Instagram, you act like I don't exist, or you don't even know me, or are ashamed of talking to me. I don't get it. It leads me to believe you have a girlfriend, Liam, so I'll leave you alone now. I get that she thought that's what was happening, that perspective.
I get that perspective, but the fact that she already went through what she went through.
Yeah. I also, and I wish I would have asked her this. I'd like to ask her now. like in between these two experiences, I'm sure she'd been going on other dates from these apps. It wasn't just like that happened and then this happened right after. I'm sure there were years of these dates she'd go on. She was dating around. Like,
and she thought, what are the chances?
Yeah, she probably thought like she probably had a string of these like real people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay.
So I don't get it. Leads me to believe you have a girlfriend, Liam, so I'll leave you alone now. We got into a huge argument on WhatsApp, but later that night, made up, and he apologized. The next day, I'm on Instagram and saw Liam had posted a story. It was that meme of a guy hiding behind a thin metal pole. I commented on it saying, "This was you hiding from my messages on WhatsApp last night when we were arguing." He replied, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. I was like, "What?" He said, "I've literally never spoken to you in my life. What the hell are you talking about?"
Oh my God, thank goodness. What? Finally.
Wait, what? I felt sick. "We've been talking for like almost 2 months every day," I said. He replied immediately, "What? Honestly, I have no clue who you are. You added me a little while ago on Instagram and kept tagging me in weird stuff, but I've never, ever spoken to you. I don't even know where you know me from." He had a real arrogance to the way he was talking to me. I was like, "Tinder, we matched weeks and weeks ago. I've spoken to you every day since." He replied, "Oh no, not again. Because I have a public page, people take my pictures and use them to catfish girls. You are like the eighth girl this year who's messaged me."
Oh, I said, my gosh.
Yeah. I said, "What? The catfish was the one who literally gave me your Instagram, this Instagram I'm messaging you on now. What the fuck?" He couldn't believe it. I told him the whole story. Screenshot every message on WhatsApp I'd ever had with him. Even the photograph of his brother. He was like, "What? No, that's not even my brother. But this person you are talking to 100% knows me because they are using my family's real names. So this person must know me."
I mean, it's easy to find.
That's true.
But, okay.
I felt like I was going to vomit from the brick of anxiety sitting heavy in my stomach. Not again. Like, who would be so brazen they would steal someone's pictures, pretend to be them, then actually send the real person's Instagram account over to the person that they are catfishing?
Yeah, that is true.
I was gobsmacked and humiliated. Why? I'd rather waste money than waste time. There was 2 months spent wasted, humiliating myself, messaging some guy who has no clue who I am. I was messaging the real Liam, like, "Oh, we should go here on our first date." The dude didn't even know me. He must have been like, "What the fuck? This girl's crazy."
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, she wasn't the first girl.
Right, that's true. I embarrassed myself so badly, but the catfish, Liam, knew this and allowed it to continue. They knew all about JJ Jones, and they did it to me anyway. I swore after that I was giving up with anything to do with being online. But my last attempt was when I met my now boyfriend on Tinder. The second I gave him my number, I was like, "Okay, you have to FaceTime me or I will not speak another word to you." He thought it was funny and FaceTimed me immediately with his bright smile and curly hair and long eyelashes. I explained these stories to him and he said, "Anything to put your mind at ease. You seem like such a lovely girl. You didn't deserve that. I'd do anything to reassure you. I am 100% real,
as you
can see." So, that's how I met my boyfriend. Over a year later, I am super, super happy.
Oh my goodness, happy ending, Aaron. Yay.
But trust me, Joey, people in this world are nuts and can be super cruel. It ruined a lot of my confidence and I'm just getting back. But being resilient is so important when it comes to anybody online. Two crazy catfish stories from one person. Couldn't write it. Thanks, Joey.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Thank you, Aaron, for sending these. I cannot believe this happened to you. But I'm so glad you found your happy ending.
This episode ended up just being all about Aaron's catfish stories. These two blew me off of my chair.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, in the world.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm telling you, we got so many good ones sent in. And I just want to say thank you so much to everybody for sending in your stories.
Thank you.
And like opening up to us and being vulnerable. And I know we just... I wish we could read more and let us know if you want to hear more of these stories. We could do another catfish episode. We can do another episode with more stories.
Yeah.
I would love to do this more often. It's so fun.
It really is. It's such a nice way to connect with all of you. We always have so much fun with these episodes. So if there's anything that you would like to hear, let us know. We're always checking your iTunes reviews, and every DM in our Joey and Amanda podcast gets read and replied to.
Yes.
So always reach out to that Instagram account so we can just connect there.
Okay. Max Joseph time?
Yes. I can't wait to talk to Max. I also can't wait to ask him just tips that he can give to help others so they don't get catfished. I feel like if anybody can help our listeners is Max Joseph. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important even nowadays for people that have teens or, you know, there's a lot of scams out there going out in the world.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's talk to Max.
Here we go. Max, you are now the only member of the two-timer club.
Nice.
Second appearance on the pod.
Double dipping.
Double dipping. We will send you a mug and a jacket if you make it to five.
So we're really excited about all these catfishing stories. And of course, we're so excited that you're here and we have some questions.
Okay.
I got a lot. So let's just...
Dive in.
Yes,
dive
let's in. Just let's just dive in. So
dive in and swim with the catfish.
Yeah. So first off, you were on the show Catfish for how many years?
7.5.
I had a feeling it was around 7. Yeah, 7.5. That's a really long time. So within those 7.5 years, did you ever feel like you were in danger? And when was the moment that you felt like you were in danger the most?
Let's see. The most I ever felt like I was in danger was actually not on the show, but I had just come back from Brazil and was like coming into my apartment, my old apartment, and I got a message from from my wife, Priscilla, that said, "Hey, I'm at home." And I was like, "No, you're not. You're in Brazil."
Whoa.
And I realized that someone like had cloned her phone number and was like texting me from it.
Oh.
So I called her and she wasn't talking to me. And then whoever it was said, come open the closet. I'm in here.
What?
And
I grabbed my bat, which I keep by the door.
Oh.
And then I went to my closet, and no one was in there. But
you actually opened it?
I did open it. I did open it. And
oh, my.
Brave.
And the person texted, "What, you're not at, you know," and he said my address, my real address. And then I spoke to one of my neighbors who said that while I was gone, some guy tried to jack my car. So I was like,
oh,
so we moved.
Oh, so that's why you moved.
We moved.
Never knew.
Changed my phone number, changed everything.
Oh.
I had to give up my 917 number, which is probably the biggest casualty of the whole thing. I've gotten strange, threatening text messages to that number, too. Like spam bombed. Basically, like, every couple seconds you get, like, a new text from a changing phone number.
Oh, my goodness.
With a threatening line that I can't remember now, but anyway, so that was like,
I mean, that's terrifying.
Mean, that was bad. And then of course there were some times on the show where we were just, you know, in the wrong part of town. All our gear got stolen out of our car once, like all our camera gear.
Whoa. Where was that in the world?
Oakland.
Oh.
But in terms of like showing up to the catfish's house.
No, I never really felt like I was in danger when we did that.
Okay.
it's really interesting when you meet someone, and we met a bunch of people who just cannot tell the truth, and they will look you dead in the eye.
Yeah.
And make up lies that you know are lies.
Oh my.
And it's very weird. Like you know, we're, as human beings, we're not programmed to really be cynical. You know, right. I think most people are not cynical, you know, deep down.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn to become cynical when we've been burned. But, like, there are some real liars out there. And what was interesting making Catfish, there were, like, a couple things I took away from it. Like, just kind of the whole experience and human nature type things. Like, number one is that, like, mystery is the greatest aphrodisiac.
Oh, yeah.
The less you know about something or someone, the more you will project generally the most positive aspect. It depends on what the context is, but it's either you'll project the best thing or you'll project the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
The lying thing, like, when you're a kid, like, you guys have a young kid, right? Like,
yeah.
Do you remember, like, when you were really young and you grasped the concept of lying? And, like, your parents were like, don't lie, like, lying is bad?
Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of like the first insult you can really, when you're a kid and, like, someone messes with you, like, you don't say, you know, go F yourself. You generally call them a liar, because that's, like, the worst thing you can be. And I do think that is profound. Like, I think the kids are right. Like, liars, they cause trouble, because, like, if you can look someone dead in the eye and just, like, keep lying to them, like, where you don't know, you can never trust that person.
Yeah.
It kind of, like, breaks a promise we have, like, in our society, where we just are, like, trusting each other just to not lie to each other.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and then, like, you know, obviously as you get older, like, you realize that everyone lies a little bit all the time, and you know, the shock of someone lying kind of goes down and down and down, but making Catfish, like, you kind of get resensitized to, like, how messed up lying really is.
Yeah.
Has this experience changed your, like, the way that you see people, your perspective on people and relationships?
It made a few things clear. I'd say another thing is that, like, if you meet someone virtually, you can be talking for 10 years. You could be video chatting with each other. You could have met all their entire family through the computer, everything. There can be no mystery.
Yeah.
You can chart out, like, you know, your whole, the rest of your lives together, happily ever after. But everything changes once you're in the same room. Like, you cannot call it. Like, you know, you can't say that's my person until you're in the same room with them, because there's so much about, I mean, there's so many things that are important about, like, physical, you know, intimacy. Like, there are pheromones.
Right, it's an energy, like, thing, yeah.
The way the person looks or smells, or, like, the three dimensionality of somebody,
yeah,
totally,
is really important. Like, there's like chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Like, and we would watch it. Like, we would watch these, like, wonderful long distance relationships just dissolve in 1 second.
Wow.
Meeting each other. And it just, like, goes to prove that, like, you know, until you're in the same room, like, you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never thought about that. I mean, imagine, and then you see them in person, and then you're just like, I can't stand the way they smell. Never thought about that concept.
Right.
That's so important. I learned that in psychology. If you don't like that person's smell, it's over.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, if you don't like the way that person kisses, like...
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of more obvious. Like, the smell one is less obvious.
Right. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. And I would also say that, like, it doesn't matter how smart you are. Like, everyone falls for these things. Like, they're, like, Nobel Prize-winning mathematicians have been catfished. Like, everyone thinks they're going to win they have a chance of winning the lottery, you know?
Right, I see what you're saying. I mean, it's easy to sort of, like, make fun of the person who falls for it, but until you hear the story and, like, see their perspective, it's unfair to do that. I know what you're saying. Like I read all the stories that were submitted to us, and every single time I was like, I get it. I get how this happened to you.
Yeah.
It also happens like generally pretty slowly, which is the other thing. Like when you see something, when someone tells you the story in like 5 minutes, you're like, well, how could you ever fall for that? Like,
yeah.
All the clues were there, but like in that person's life, like all those little clues were dropped over the course of like weeks and months and yes. maybe years.
Yes, yes, you're mm-hmm. right. Totally.
And so you're like, you know, until you really like write them all down, you don't quite realize like how many of them you've fallen for.
Out of all, I mean, since you've been doing this for so many years, you would think that you would get desensitized and you would like, okay, I know how this is about to go. Is there anything that after years completely shocked you right when you thought that you saw it all?
You know, I'm trying to remember, you know.
I'm sure it all blends.
In like season, I think it was like season 4, like True Detective came out and we would watch it while we were on the road, and it was funny how much making Catfish felt like we were like two hardened like detectives.
Like, yeah.
I can pretty much only remember season 1. Like everything else kind of blurs together.
That makes sense.
Except for the ones that really stand out.
Sure.
The revenge ones are always kind of like pretty messed up. Like how far someone will go to fuck with someone else is really shocking, generally.
You mean when it came from somebody who was like inside of their life? Like a friend or whatever? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I am shocked when people lie, because I like to think that like if I look into someone's eyes, I can tell if they're lying or not.
Right.
And, like I can't. There, you know, there are people who will you see it on these, you know, in Law and Order and these other shows,
right.
You know, but like it's hard. It's hard to tell if someone's lying, and you want to believe them. So yeah, I mean, that's not a good answer. And maybe as we go on, I'll remember one that like really shocked me.
I feel like people aren't catfished as much now. I mean,
are they?
I don't know. I think it's just as bad as it ever was.
Wow.
Is my feeling, but I, you know, I've been out of the game for a couple of years now. So
yeah.
Are you getting back in? Are you ever going to get back in the game?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I love watching you on that show.
I know.
I think there are other games to play. By the way, your big line, the big line that was said to you, don't bro me if you don't know me, that came from a Catfish episode.
I never knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know. Lines
did from We Are Your Friends.
Who said that on Catfish?
We were in Michigan, and we were talking to a couple bros who were kind of recounting, like, the night at the bar, like, when this guy, I don't know, met this girl or something.
Yeah.
And, like, they all in unison, like, said, you know, don't bro me if you don't know me kind of thing. And I was just, like, wrote that down.
That's so funny. That's a great story.
Wow.
So, since, you know, people are still getting catfish nowadays, what would you tell somebody that thinks that they're getting catfished? What is your advice to them? How to catch the catfisher? How can they reverse look something? Like, what are some tips or red flags?
Well, if they won't meet or video chat, that's a red flag. If they're using cancer or car crashes as excuses, that's a red flag. That's where everyone goes. If they say they're a model or a doctor or a rapper, that's a red flag.
Those came up in about 99% of the stories that were sent to us.
Yeah, it's funny how it's like one of four things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they won't meet you, if they won't even let you hear their voice, normally you hear their voice, either they're not the gender that they are presenting as, or they are someone you know.
Well,
if they live in the same state as you and they won't meet you, then, like, forget it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no excuse for that except for the fact that they're lying about who they are. How can you look them up? They're, you know, I think most people know the reverse image search, and there are all these, you know, reverse white pages, My Life, all these different utilities that you can use. But the things that really give people away are generally like the URLs that they use, like the custom URLs that they might have on like their Facebook and their Twitter and their Instagram, like using similar screen names, using the same, you know, avatar. It's like, it's generally like stuff like that that gets people caught,
I see what you're saying.
I mean, that's like the smaller stuff.
Right.
And I, you know, it's funny. It's like all the Tinder stuff. Like, I don't know. I really don't know about Tinder or Hinge or any of that.
Oh, that's stuff. So maybe that's a huge part of the catfishing world now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think because Tinder is so hookup based that, like, if they won't meet you, then, oh,
right.
Like,
then you're onto the, yeah, right.
We did have a few Tinder things where people, like, we definitely did Grindr and Tinder where they would meet, but it's the Wild West.
What about advice for people who are related to somebody or friends with somebody who's, you think, is getting catfished, but they're just like set that they're not? How do you help that person?
Oh my God, you can't.
Yeah, they have to figure it out on their own.
You have to literally. It's like proving a murder case. Like, you have to catch the person red-handed
first.
They have before, to hear the voice,
right?
They have, like, you've got to like prove in like two or three different ways, visual, audio,
right?
You know,
because that person will always say, "Well, no, well, they,
right?
Yeah."
Well, and that's my point, is that, like, it's really less about the catfish and more about the person that believes the catfish. Like, that person is the problem.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Because they're insisting, and they're on a fantasy that they know in the back of their mind is probably not true, but they can't let it go.
Right.
And the more people say, oh, you know, it's not that person, then the more they dig in.
Wow.
And yeah, it's sad. Like, some people really do get sucked in to that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's money.
Yeah.
And see, you asked, Amanda, like, is it happening? It was happening more then. I think, like, there are more scams now. I think, like, you know, we're all online now, like, the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
More and more people. Like, back then, it wasn't as many people. And so there's just more people to scam you. And then there's all this dark stuff, like sextortion, and, you know, like, there's a whole range of darker things.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to know.
I don't even know anything about that.
What does sextortion mean?
It's awful. And it's actually kind of like the number one problem that plagues, like, teenagers.
What?
It's when someone, basically, let's say you're a girl and you're talking to someone online that you met in a chat room or something, and they continually ask you to send, you know, a topless picture.
Oh, God.
And then you finally do.
Yeah.
And then they say, and then they want to see more. And then you're like, I don't know, I don't think so. And they're like, well, if you don't, I'm going to send this topless picture to everyone you know.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
And then it goes further and further and further. And, like, and people have, I mean, girls have killed themselves. Boys have killed themselves. God. It's like so that's pretty dark. Revenge porn is also pretty dark.
And then what do they do with these images? They keep them or they sell them online?
Well, yeah, they're people who kind of collect them and trade them, and some people just hoard them and collect them themselves. I mean, right, there's a million and one ways, and the police and the FBI aren't, they're just not sophisticated enough. I mean, the FBI is, but, like, they just don't have enough manpower to deal with the volume.
I see.
Of
all this.
Goes in the bottom of the sack.
And if you're a kid, like, A, you don't want to, like, go tell someone at your school or your parents that this is happening.
Right.
Because that's extra humiliating.
Right.
And then when you do, like, A, they'll victim blame you. Well, why did you send your pictures in the first place?
Right.
It's your fault.
Right.
Yeah.
And because they're old and they don't understand. And so, like, it's awful. It's like it's an awful hell.
Do you feel that this has happened, this sextortion? Sometimes during the catfish years, it turned into that, and then you weren't allowed to air those episodes? Or no?
There were only one or two episodes we weren't allowed to air, and it didn't have to do with how dark they got. There were kind of creepy people who would ask for nudes and stuff. But no, we never really got into revenge porn. That was part of the reason why I made this documentary that came out last year, 15 Minutes of Shame, because in a lot of ways it's the darker end of the catfish pool. It's not necessarily about deception, but it is about, like, the way we deal with each other on the internet and how easy it is to kind of create a monster out of someone who isn't.
Yeah.
Because we want to believe that they're a monster.
Yeah.
Because it feels good to then, like, beat the crap out of them.
Right, and feel bigger than this other bigger-than-life person. Yeah.
And we all feel kind of small on the internet because we're all comparing ourselves to each other. And so, like, it primes us to, and then, you know, you throw in political polarization and you know, downward economic shifts. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you get you have a powder keg of people who are pissed off and looking for someone to hate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a media industrial complex that's just serving up people as clickbait.
Yeah.
Warping stories to make people seem worse, so you click on them. And yeah, so it's a pretty big problem.
Yeah. And the cancel culture, I'm sure that, you know, it's covered in that. And where can people see this? It's on HBO, is that correct?
HBO Max.
Perfect.
HBO Max.
So, 15 Minutes of Shame on HBO Max, and you guys can watch it now.
Good plug. But yeah, I mean, like, that, it did feel kind of like the darker catfish stuff. And there were so many, I mean, I wish that was a show, because there were just so many things that we learned doing it that we just couldn't fit into a 90-minute documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, kind of like what we're talking about, like the darker...
Sure.
Image-based abuse, sextortion stuff, and then, you know, now there's deep fakes, and that's going to add a whole new level of, you know, humiliation and catfishing.
Yeah, that's the really, really scary, that's, like, terrifying, the deep fakes.
I have no idea.
That's when, like, they have, like, the technology to make somebody, to change their face to look like somebody else.
Oh, yes. Yes, I
saw. And you can't tell it sometimes. Like, you really can't tell.
Yeah.
Is there like hope that there's going to be something created to be able to block these deepfakes?
Google and, you know, some other outfits are developing technology, and I've heard people say that because deepfakes are inherently manipulated, that they can basically have software that like can sense when something has been manipulated and flag it.
Yeah.
So that's the only kind of hope I've heard.
Uh-huh.
But like, it's pretty sinister. Like, once your nudes are out there, though, like, they're out there. And and it's really a David versus Goliath fight to get them down, because you only really have a chance if you, A, have money to buy them back, if someone would sell them to you, and B, if you didn't take them yourself, right? Because if someone else took them, then the person who took the pictures own the pictures, right? So if your ex-boyfriend took the pictures, then he owns it.
This is a nightmare.
And if you're 16 and you took pictures of yourself and sent it to someone else, then you could be prosecuted for child pornography too. So the laws are, we're living in this gray area where things haven't caught up with the times. And on a lighter note, it's sad.
Amanda and I have never talked about
this before.
This is like a this is sort of like a portal into a world that we're sort of just walking into right now. It's really scary.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, did you guys meet through, how did you guys meet? I forgot.
Amanda and I?
Like, you know, the old days?
Yeah, it's like, like way back in the day, we like met in person.
Yeah, we met randomly by chance. We were living in the same apartment building.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You were introduced, somebody was like, oh, you have to meet Amanda. Amanda, come here. And then there you go.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, but you didn't have to work up the courage to talk to her.
No.
Like, it was already set up.
Yeah, we were forced.
It was spontaneous in the moment. It wasn't even, like, set up before.
Oh, yeah, right. It was like we just both happened to be at the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, that's convenient. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Like, you know, gone are the days when you really have to, like, work up the courage to, like, go over to that person and, you know, and drop a line or something. I guess it still happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't have to happen the way it used to have to happen.
I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I never did the online dating. So like, we missed it because Amanda and I had already met. But to me, just thinking about it, it seems almost scarier to me to like be to just imagine talking to someone for so long, and then after this buildup of talking to them online for, you know, months, years, and then the moment of having to go meet them, that is way more nerve-wracking to me than just going up to some random person and saying hi.
Yeah, that's true.
I see that perspective.
But I don't know if that's just because I don't know that.
Yeah.
It's just scarier because it's an unknown. But it seems like that would be way scarier.
Yeah, logically it is, but it's so frightening to like see someone and like be like, I'm just gonna like stop all their momentum.
right. Like, and assume that what I have to say to them is more important than whatever it is that they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Right. I have to interrupt whatever they're doing, quickly disarm them with charm that I'm so nervous that who knows if I can even pull that off.
You did that with Pri. She was working, right? She was.
Yes.
I love your story.
I wasn't so charming. I was drunk.
I didn't know that part.
Which is like plan B.
Oh my gosh. That's so great.
Just drunk enough to figure out as much Portuguese as you could.
Right.
It's so great. I feel like there should be a short film of you two.
Yeah, have you ever like incorporated that story in anything?
No, I need to, one day. Well, it's been on my mind a lot.
Yeah.
I think of it as a short film when I hear it so nice.
I always have like the montage of you studying Portuguese leading up to the date.
So nice.
Yeah. I do want to use it. I do want to like tell a story based on it, I think.
Hey, if you ever need someone to play like a young Max, you know,
that's true. You're actually the right age. It's not a bad idea.
I'll play young Max. Joey. Max.
I don't sound like
Joey.
Our grandma.
Joey, it's me, Max.
Oh my gosh.
You sound more like a New Yorker than I do.
Was it like his dad? Oh my gosh. I miss your parents, Max.
Oh, you should go out and see them in New York. Hopefully they'll be here. We want to come and see Benny.
Yeah, okay, we miss you guys. We miss Pri. Give Pri a big hug for us.
I will.
Thanks for doing this, Max. I know this was like so spontaneous.
Yeah.
No worries. If you have, is there anything else? Any last?
I think
one last question.
Let me try to think. What like through all the press you did for Catfish, like back in those days and everything? What was the one question you never liked getting about Catfish?
One question I never liked.
What's the one question where you're like, oh, this guy is really gonna, he's gonna ask me that? Oh.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's generally, what's your favorite episode?
Yeah, right. What what is your favorite episode?
My favorite episode is the Medium episode. I believe it's Courtney and...
I remember it.
I think I remember that one too. Yeah.
It's not only my favorite episode because it was just like mind blowing, like being in it, but it was the only episode that was 90 minutes and it felt it watching it back. It was like the only episode that really like I felt did justice to the actual story. 'Cause you know, we're in it for a week and so we know everything. And then you see it cut down to 45 minutes, and it's like it. There's no way it can have everything, and it's abridged, and it's edited, and it's fast, and it doesn't breathe. So like I do like at 90 minutes, I felt like there could be silences, and there could be like real awkward moments, and it felt more true. It felt more like a film. So like, as an actual episode, that was, like, my favorite episode. But then I also really liked the Katy Perry episode because we got to go to England and, like...
I don't know that one.
Have you not seen that one?
I'm trying to remember.
No.
Oh, my God. That's one of the best. You got to see it.
Well, why was it Katy Perry? You went to go see her?
No. This guy from Knoxville, Tennessee, believed he was having, like, a... multi-year relationship with Katy Perry, and he took it in stride.
Sure,
but we just had fun with him, and we had fun going to England.
Yeah,
and it was just the whole. And he really believed.
Yeah,
he really believed. I mean, it's just like, you know, people used to get mail saying you've won $1 million, and like a lot of people would open that because they're like, well, "What if I did?"
Oh, I have one last thing.
Go.
Now that you're not catfishing anymore, or on catfish anymore, what are you working on now?
I am working on a couple different things that hopefully I'll be able to share soon. But one of them is like, one of them's a doc series.
Yes.
For a big streamer.
Yes.
Love to hear that.
One of them is a TV show, a comedy. With a really funny star, and another one is a film, feature film that is really, really fucking good. I didn't write it. It was a script that was on the blacklist, and it's about the NRA, and that's all I'll say.
Whoa. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast.
Of course.
We appreciate it.
I want to see you guys in person.
I know. We love you, Max. Give Pri a big hug for us. Give Simon a big hug for us.
I will.
Love you, Max.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Love you, too.
Thank you, everybody, for joining in. I had so much fun on this episode. So many emotions.
Yeah.
I'm going to go just relax right now for a second and just contemplate what I just, just digest everything. So thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. Thank you for all of the love, all of the kind messages, the DMs. You motivate us every single week to continue this podcast. So I cannot thank you enough for the motivation that you send us daily with your DMs and your comments and your reviews.
Totally.
Love you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.